today. Take your Bibles and open up to chapter number 11. Whoa, there we are. I'm glad you're awake this morning. Hebrews chapter number 11 in the Word of God today. Hebrews chapter number 11 here in the Word of God. As you find your place here, I want you to, in just a moment, you've got time to do this, but also open up to Exodus and chapter number 1. Exodus chapter number 1. As you're going to have both of these places, Exodus chapter 1, you can put a ribbon in or maybe a bookmark or just kind of have your thumb there. We'll be kind of back and forth here in just a couple of moments. But we're going to be in Hebrews chapter number 11. And for those of you who are visiting with us today, we are starting a brand new series entitled Heroes of the Faith. Heroes of the Faith. And over the next several months, we are going to dive into several passages of Scripture and be looking at some heroes in the Word of God. Now, let me put it this way for just a moment. All of us have heroes that we've grown up with. Maybe you grew up in that era where you would put posters on the wall and it was someone famous, or it was someone that maybe you kind of idolized, someone that you wanted to be like. There were people that you read about. There were those that, honestly, in your life, you just really loved this person. It would, what we would say, would be a hero to you. I remember growing up and even thinking of now, I've said this before, but my father, my dad, Dr. Tom Shepherd, was one of my heroes and still is. And this past weekend, Carrie and I were able to travel down to Alabama. I grew up in Alabama my younger years and then in North Carolina through the latter years of my life. And I just have always enjoyed being with my father. And he had COVID this past summer and struggled with it and hit his body pretty hard. But he was, him and my mom were able to meet us and some of my sisters in Alabama there. And in Tuscaloosa, we were able to watch an Alabama football game together. And it was just kind of one of those moments that I just once again always dreamed of, being with one of my heroes, that my dad's been that hero that just has been faithful to our family, faithful to Lord Jesus Christ, faithful to church, and he's just one of those men that I just kind of put up on a pedestal. I really love him. Another man in my life that I've kind of always looked up to when I was young during his era, but I've really enjoyed reading about Ronald Reagan, our president, and Carrie was able to get tickets for us at California. We were able to go to the Reagan Library there and walk around and just see all that he was able to accomplish in his life and in his presidency. And I've got the Reagan Diaries on my desk, and it's just an incredible book, a big thick book, but just kind of him documenting his life and journaling his life. I also remember being little, and I know many of you are probably like, oh, I like Batman, I like, Superman, okay, great, that's fine, but I gotta be a little bit more mature, but I did have someone else in my life that I really liked, and some of you of an older generation, you might remember the name Pistol Pete. Anybody remember that name, Pistol Pete? And he was older, a lot older than I was. But I remember I started getting to basketball. Man, I'm out there and learning, the game. And this is in an era where we had, you know, guys like Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Isaiah Thomas, and Reggie Miller, and kind of Patrick Ewing, kind of the greats of yesteryear. And I remember getting into basketball. My dad said, you know, son, if you're gonna start playing basketball, and I'm gonna put you in camps and in leagues, and you need to learn the fundamentals of basketball. I said, okay, Dad, sure, I'll learn the fundamentals of basketball. I remember Dad brought me these VCR. Anybody remember VCR tapes? But Dad brought me some VCR tapes of Pistol Pete. And, man, I remember watching him and getting down the fundamentals of my left hand, right hand, two balls, and this and that. And I just remember he was an idol. He's a hero of mine. I just really looked up to him. In the Word of God, well, we have listed for us often men and women that lived really just ordinary lives. But their lives are preserved for us forever in the Word of God. They were amazing people. That these people, yes, lived normal lives, and many of them made some really big mistakes. Yet what I love about these men and women is that they were used mightily of God. And today we're going to jump in and begin in the story of Moses. Moses here in Hebrews chapter number 11 is listed really in this faith chapter. His life is kind of told and given us this 30,000 foot view, or this really quick synopsis of his life. In Hebrews chapter number 11, there's this faith chapter, and it begins with faith really before the flood, and talking about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham. Verse number 11, Sarah. And, verse number 17, Abraham. And verse number 20, Isaac. And verse number 22, we see Joseph. And then we see these patriarchs that are in there. And beginning in verse number 23, we find out about Moses. And then several other faithful servants that are listed here for us. And so what I want us to do is to jump in here of Hebrews chapter number 11. And for time's sake this morning, I'm just going to read one verse. But over the next several weeks, we're going to dig into this story of Moses. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word today in Hebrews chapter number 11. And let's read verse number 23. Would you please follow along as I read today? The Bible says this. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and that they were not afraid of the king's commandment. For just the next couple of moments, I want us to look at this heroes of the faith, the story of Moses. Father, thank you, Lord, so much that in your word you have for us these writings, these teachings. You have preserved for us stories in the Word that it's not just a fairy tale, but what we're about to learn of this morning really took place. And that, Father, it's applicable to our lives. How, Father, can we take a story that was written thousands of years ago and apply it to our life in 2021? God, how is that even possible? What's possible through you, Lord? And through your word that is alive today. And so, Father, I ask, Lord, that you would allow us to rightly divide the word of truth. Help us to get what we need to get today to get us through this week. Apply it to our lives. And, Father, may you help us change where we need to change today. Convict us where we need to be convicted. But, Father, I ask, Lord, that you would encourage us where we need to be encouraged. Savior, you are a good God. We love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I began to research over the last several months, I began to put together this series. I've really been excited about it. And the amazing thing is, if you were to go and begin to really dig into Moses, there's not a whole lot of books that come up and begin to write about the life of Moses. In fact, if you did a Google search, there is a movie star, I believe his name is Charlton Heston or something like that. Some of your, Mr. Heston, as an old-time guy that I guess had a movie. I've actually never seen that movie, but man, I'm telling you, Google Moses and that movie comes up over and over and over again. And as you begin to compile and as you begin to look at this man's life, it is really amazing that other than Jesus himself and perhaps the Apostle Paul, it's likely that no other figure in all of history has exerted more influence on mankind than this man, Moses. Moses, the first 5 books of the Bible are of his authorship. He held in his hands the original tablets of stone that bore the Ten Commandments. He was raised as a prince in Egypt, and he was refined as a shepherd in Midian, and he was transformed into a great prophet of God. As we dive into this man's life, there is no doubt that there are topics when we think about the life of Moses that automatically come up. Of course we think of the Ten Commandments. Of course we're going to think of the plagues. And of course we're going to think of them wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. And we're going to remember all these things. But before we get really to that time in this man's life, we have to for a moment comprehend that there was a lot of faith that was built into the life of Moses before Moses ever became the man that most men or women would remember him for. You see, first of all, today we see his faithful parents. Number one, we see his faithful parents. Look with me at verse number 23 here of this faith chapter in Hebrews 11. The Bible says this, by faith, Moses. But look at the next 4 words. When he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. You see, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. This was at the risk of their own lives. You see, Pharaoh had ordered at this time that every Hebrew baby boy must be thrown into the river and drowned. This is 400 years in the making. This is 400 years after Joseph had stepped on the scene and lived his life. Now some 400 years is going to pass, and these 400 years have passed, and God has really blessed the life of the Hebrews. They had grown in numbers by the hundreds of thousands. And now the Egyptians are afraid that they're going to become too big. That now they're going to be afraid, even though they were in bondage, even though they were slaves and servants and maids, that at this time, because they had so grown in numbers, they had so grown in strength, that what is going to happen is they are going to join the armies of maybe the Egyptians, their enemies. And they were so afraid now that what was going to happen is that they would see, man, we're actually bigger than the Egyptians. If we came together, then we could really have a crew of men, an army of men that could overtake the very people that were holding them in bondage. So I want you to flip over with me to Exodus chapter number 1, and here's where we'll be for the next couple of moments. Because of this, because of their strength, now what's going to take place is there's going to be this law that's going to go forth. I want you to look with me at Exodus 1 and look with me at verse number 20. The Bible says this: therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied, waxed very mighty. Verse number 21. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that He had made them houses. And Pharaoh, check it out, charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Now I want you to comprehend for just a moment the tragedy that has taken place. Here we have these Hebrews that have lived, and it's 400 years they're now living, and man, they're growing in strength, and they're wondering what's going to take place, and it's this 400 silent years that they're there, and now because of their strength, now because of their numbers, Pharaoh's going to come out and give this edict. He's going to give this law. He's going to give this rule. You know what? From now on, every Hebrew baby that is born, if it is a son, I want you midwives to take that child and I want you to throw it in the river. I want you to drown it. I want you to make sure that from now on, no longer we have any more Hebrew boys. If it's a girl, fine, keep it. That's okay. But we don't want any more of these babies being born. And if they are of the male gender, we want you to get rid of it. Now I want you to comprehend and listen for just a moment. When we look at this, we say, what a tragedy. We look at this, we say, how awful. We look at this, there is no doubt in our mind, we would say, this is utterly wicked to take a newborn child and to cast it into a river to drown. If you agree with that, say amen this morning. There's no doubt we would all absolutely agree on that is wicked, that is demonic, that is satanic. I can't even think of a word there. It's abhorrible to think of that. I want you to comprehend today that every year, millions of babies are murdered right here in the United States of America. And before we jump on this bandwagon of, oh yeah, you know what, how awful this is and how wicked this must have been, and I can't even imagine the cries that must have gone forth of these babies being thrown in, and the wailing of these moms and how upset after 9 months of carrying this child. Can you imagine the heartache they must have been going through? Friend, let me just put it this way for just a moment. We are facing that same type of satanic, that demonic, that wicked type of lifestyle today, and we're putting under the guise of abortion or under women's rights or under whatever you want to call it. Friend, let me just put it this way. God is not going to continue to bless this nation if we are okay with the murdering of millions of babies. Friend, I don't care if it's politically incorrect. I don't care what you want to call me today. It ought to never be okay with us as Christians and as Americans to be okay with the murdering of young children. Amen? Never. Friend, I understand what's taking place in Texas and other places where these laws are coming out. And I just want to encourage us today to continue to pray that America gets right and that we will stop seeing this Roe versus Wade, the mentality of it's okay and it's all right. And, well, the young girl and the young man, they made a mistake. And so let's not let them live with their mistake. Friend, I'm here to tell you, it is never okay to take the life of a baby. It's never okay. Well, let's talk today and let's get down the nitty-gritty. Well, what about this and what about this? What about this? Friend, let's just put it this way. Show me in the Word of God where it is okay to take the life of an innocent life. And you won't find it. Friend, what's taking place here is tragic, but it's happening today as well. They saw that he was no ordinary child, this Moses that's being born. The Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Why was he hid? Because of this edict, this law. They saw that he was a proper child. Look at Exodus 2. Look at chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. And there went a man out of the house of Levi and took a wife of daughter of Levi. Verse number 2 of chapter 2 of Exodus. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. You see, this parent, this mom, she saw the potential in Moses. By faith, godly parents see potential in their children, and they pray for that next generation to accomplish extraordinary things for the glory of God. May you and I tune in for a moment. May you and I continue to pray as we have on Wednesday nights for this next generation. The Bible says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Friend, I comprehend the generation gaps and I comprehend the arguments and the fights of the day. And I comprehend what's taking place even in our nation where they're trying to divide us and split us. But friend, I am here to tell you that if you are of gray hair or whether you're a millennial or whether you're a Gen Z, it does not matter, even the Gen Y, it does not matter. You and I are placed here for a purpose. That purpose is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you and I must come together, arm in arm, hand in hand, joined together. Why? For the purpose of glorifying God. For the purpose, listen very carefully, I know that we'll be going over this on Sunday night, so I'm going to touch it and then move on. But we must come together for the purpose of raising the next generation to, listen now, have a heart for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If there was ever in my life a time that I feel like we have got to invest in the next generation, that time is now. Does anybody agree with me today? Say amen. We've got to. I've said it before. Pastor Foe, I know I'll use you quite often, but you've been here for many, many, many years. But Pastor Foe, our goal together as men of God is to join arm in arm and raise a generation that is coming behind us, am I right, that has a heart for Jesus. Pastor Dan, you and I, we work together. We're together every day. And man, I enjoy and I love working with you. But our main goal is not just to kind of get through, collect a paycheck, we're good, high-five each other, and you know maybe the Lord will come back one day. You and I, we have a purpose here. And part of that purpose is coming together and praying for that generation. If I look up here on this second row of all these young girls and these young men that are back here and right over here, we're joined arm in arm praying for this next generation. I remember interviewing Mr. Carlson, Stephen Carlson, who's our school administrator here. And stand up, Brother Carlson, if you don't mind. If you have not met his parents, now look back there, I apologize. His parents are here today, and so if you want any good stories on him, you make sure you get back there and meet his parents and get some embarrassing ones. But I remember interviewing you, and I remember you and I sitting back in this office, and we were sitting there, and we were talking through, and even your wife, Charity, was in there. And I remember you talking, and it wasn't all about just keeping accreditation, and it wasn't all about just, you know, hiring teachers, and it wasn't all about just the ordinary things of what a school administrator would do. I will never forget, in my office, right over here, you begin to cry talking about two young people you had just won to the Lord. I'll never forget that. Here's a man who's interviewing for a job. Here's a man who's got the degrees. Here's a man who's got the legacy of the family tree. Here's a man who has the helpmeet. Here's a man who has the family. Here's a man who the qualifications all fit. And let me tell you something. We could have just marked him off and said, you know what? This is great. Good. Come on in. But I'm telling you what touched me the most that day interviewing this man was not look at the degrees that hang on my wall or look at my family tree or look what I've accomplished, whether it be in Florida or in Ohio or in Colorado. No, what impressed me the most was here was a man who said, you know what? Here's what got me this past week. Here's what I live for. Here's what I strive to do each and every day. And that is seeing young people come to know their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And friend, you and I ought to all, thank you, brother, all of us have that same type of mentality, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. May you and I live the type of life that it's not just, well, we're getting through and we're just kind of moving through and well, we're good. No, you and I have got to come together realizing that we are blessed at Cross Point Baptist Church, that the nurseries are full of babies and the junior church is full of young kids today, and we're talking about moving into other classrooms because they're filling up. Friend, somebody help me out. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Not all Baptist churches you walk in today have a younger generation. And we can sit here, Pastor Chris, and you and I get together and complain about, I think you were teaching the teens, they didn't listen, and they do this, and, well, I'm just telling you how to, we absolutely could. There's a little bit of laziness, and there's this, and they'll bring everything to church, but not their Bibles, God forbid, you know, just, we can complain, or we could pray for them. They need us. These parents looked and knew something's different about Moses. Was he a perfect child? No. He's not Jesus. He's a baby. He's born a sinner. But they saw potential in his life. As I look around this auditorium today, and just our teenagers are here, young kids aren't here. But I look around our auditorium today, I'm looking at the Sharps, and I'm looking at the Hayes, and I'm looking at a lot of potential, the Stocks. And look, I'm looking around here today, and I see, you know what I see? Potential. I was just seeing the Hughes. Oh, they're very talented, musical family, and they're the no. You know, we see in their kids potential to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, I see is young kids and teenagers, and they're not perfect. Trust me, good grief. But you know, I think sometimes we have to, Pastor Fode, be reminded that as teenagers, we were not perfect either. Ooh, it's getting a little quiet in here, a little chilly, you know what I'm saying? You better be glad there wasn't Facebook back in the day. And some of you are like, yeah, praise the Lord, there was no Instagram back then, because I'd chuck you under the bus. You know what I'm saying? Anyways, we have to pray, but watch this. They were also not afraid of the king's edict. You see, in Hebrews it says that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Here in verse number 3 of Exodus 2, look at it with me, it says this. And when she should not longer hide him. After 3 months, he's getting too big to hide. It's getting too loud. She took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it in slime with a pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Look at verse number 4. And his sister, talking about Moses, stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Now watch up here. Look up here. Look. I'm going to read the story in a minute. So you're like, what's going to happen? Okay, we'll get to it in just a moment, okay? I promise you, it's a good story, but let me tell it in a moment. Now, here we have this lady. She has him 3 months. I mean, she sees it's a good legit. There's potential in this kid. For 3 months, she feeds him. She hides him. She does the best she can. But then it comes to the place where she can't hide him anymore. And let's just put it all out there. If she would have been caught with Moses, it was not good for the family. It's not that they're just going to talk about, oh, you know, it's okay, you know, I know you meant it, and he's a beautiful child. Pharaoh had commanded that they are to take the babies and kill them, get rid of them, it's done. So if she's caught with baby Moses, she's in big trouble. She takes him, and after 3 months, after 3 months, there's nothing else she can do. She can't hide him anymore. She makes this basket, and she puts Moses in it. She takes him down to the riverside and puts him in and tries to hide him down there. tells her daughter, I want you to go over here off in the distance a little bit. I want you to hide and just kind of watch to what is going to happen to him. I want you to watch to see what's going to take place. See, at this point, it's really amazing. There is still great faith that is taking place. What absolute faith it must have taken for Moses' mom and his sister to be even put in this dangerous situation. Now watch very carefully. What I love about these two females in this story is we don't talk about them much, but we ought to talk about them. Because the faith that the parents had, the faith that the sister had was not, well, we don't want to hazard our life. Well, we don't want anything to happen to us. I mean, it's just a baby and, okay, we hit him as long as it could, but obviously we can't do this forever. So I guess it's over and it's too dangerous for our family. If the soldiers find out, we could be in trouble. If the soldiers find out, we could lose our life. If the soldiers find out, good grief, I mean, what is going to take place to us? And so they could have just at that moment said, you know what, it's okay, we're just done. Excuse me, Christian, they could have said, we give up. I mean, it was good for a little while, and it lasted, but, you know, it's kind of over. Oh, well, did the best we could, didn't we? I mean, we tried, and that's it. No. They still stepped out by faith. Excuse me. They still did what was right, even though it was dangerous. Even though it could have cost them their lives, their families' lives. Even though it could have been over, it was dangerous. Friend, listen very carefully. Jesus did not die to keep us safe. He died to make us dangerous. Faithfulness, listen, is not holding the fort. It is storming the gates of hell. Our problems, listen, are they bigger than God? Or is God bigger than our problems? Listen, our problem oftentimes as Christians is that we have a small view of who God is to us. That is the cause of all lesser evils. And it's a high view of God that is the solution to all of our other problems in life. Listen, comprehend this. As a young Christian, as a Christian living in 2021, we are being brought up with the inability to step out in biblical faith. You and I look at this story, and we look at, well, the story of Moses. Wow, it's so great. Man, I'm about to lose my voice. And guys in the back, if you have to turn my microphone up, just turn it up, okay? But I didn't get to preach last week, and I was with my wife, and she doesn't like me preaching to her, so it's kind of catching back up with me. So just bear with me. Don't turn me up, but listen very carefully. We are being brought up today with the inability to step out in biblical faith. We've gone over this. We looked in the book of James. That if we today, looking at finances, especially in America, if it does not make sense in our finances on paper, well, then it just can't be biblical. Listen very carefully. Excuse me, friend. Well, if it doesn't make sense, I mean, look, if it's on the budget, then it just can't be biblical. I mean, look, if it's not there, I mean, even if I were to take all of my finances and if I were to go to a financial advisor, an advisor that was not saved, there is no way that he would look at my finances and say, I'm sorry, what is this percentage here? And why is that going back to the very employer that pays you every week? They would not understand that. Well, tell me how. You have how many kids? Yeah, I have five kids. You have five children. That's correct, yes. How many of those are girls, Mr. Shepherd? Well, there are four of them girls. Okay, well, Mr. Shepherd, you do realize that you could be taking what you're giving back to whatever you want to call it, the Lord or tithe. If you would take that percentage and if you would put it away, it might cover some of the weddings in those four girls that you're going to have to go through. Some of you are with me and catching on real quick. Others don't tithe and you're sitting there saying, what? It might go towards it. You have five children? Yes. They're going to go to college one day? Yes. I don't know if any parents out there has looked at the cost of college here lately, but it's gone up a little bit over the last couple of years. That you have to have five kids, you have to go to college. That doesn't make sense. Friends, sometimes God's going to move us by faith,
and a financial advisor may never understand it, but it's called, faith. It's called stepping out. It's called doing what God wants us to do. We could have Pastor Defoe and Pastor Dan and so many of you that have been here over the years, Brother Jim Titus and so many others. You could have sat back at the Eagledale property and you could have sat there and said, you know what, it's just going to cost too much and it's going to be this many millions of dollars and we got a building and it's over here and it's paid for and it's a little close to the racetrack or we're running out of room, but you know what, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense on paper. We've got property that's paid for. Well, I want to move to the 10 miles down the road and then look at this property. They got a disco ball. Literally, we had a disco ball hanging up in there and we're going to have to add on. We're going to have to do all this work and it's going to be so much. And so, watch this very carefully. It's kind of dangerous to go down that road and we don't know what the economy's going to do. We don't really know what's coming down the road. So we'll just, watch very carefully. We're just going to play it safe. And God said, no, I want you to step out by faith. Yeah, but that didn't make sense. You know what? Not everything with God makes sense. But He knows what's best. It's stepping out by faith and doing something that maybe to us it doesn't seem like it matches on paper. But what about faith? We talk about faith and, if it's going to interrupt my life, then it can't be biblical. It can't make sense for me to have to do this and want to do to go down this road. Listen very carefully. Watch. We're raising our kids. Tommy, stand up for just for a second here. It's my son Tommy, 12 years old. As a faithful parent, for those of you that know, overflow, as a faithful parent, I'm not raising this son to be 21 years old, 22, 23, to meet all of my expectations of the life that I think would be best for him. Now, hold on. Sure, I want what's best for my son. I want Tommy to marry a good girl one day. I've got several picked out in the church, but we'll get there. A little young to start dating just yet, but I want him to marry a good girl. I want him to have a heart for God. I want him to take care of his wife and his kids one day and supply for them monetarily and also spiritually. I want him to be. There are expectations that, yes, I would love to have met. Let me just put it this way. I'm not raising Tommy Shepherd to be a Thomas Shepherd Jr. I'm not raising him so that I can live my life through him. I am raising this child, this son, with the end game of one day, this young boy will be a man and he'll be out on his own. And I don't want him to have a heart for God just because I tell him have a heart for God. No, I want him to have a heart for God because, he has a heart for God. I don't want to raise him with a bunch of standards that he gets to 21, 22 and, I guess that's just all his standards are dad's. No, I'm going to raise him with standards in his life that's based on principles, that's based on the Word of God, so that when he gets 21, it begins to all make sense of why we've lived the life of holiness and purity that we've lived in the 21 years prior. I want to raise him, to live a life of faith. And if when he gets 21, and listen, I'm preaching to somebody, I have not been there yet. But God forbid, Terry, we get to where he is 21 years old and chooses to spend his life on a mission field. And you and I feel like it's too far away from mom and dad. So we steer him in a direction that is away from God's, somebody help me out, amen, away from God's calling in his life so that he'll be close to mom and dad and we get to have the grandkids. Look, I'm not picking on anybody today and I'm just here to tell you, I have not been in that situation yet, but my prayer is that by faith, one day, Tommy, I'll raise you and whether he wants you to be a construction worker or mow lawns or be an anesthesiologist or a doctor or a lawyer or a missionary or a pastor's son, my faith ought to raise you in a way that God, he is not mine, he is yours. Use him however you want to use him. That ought to be, thank you, son, that ought to be our life. We are growing up with this inability to step out by faith. Why? I'm here to tell you why. Because we are living on Visa and MasterCard and now the government. We are living on just give it to me and what can I do and what can I gain and how can I climb the corporate ladder and my plans and my desires and my aspirations and what I want for me and my kids and my life. And well, God, you'll come second and God, you'll come maybe even and third, but Lord, you want me to be happy, don't you? And God sitting up in heaven saying, good grief, can you not read here in the book of Exodus that there was a lady who hazarded her life and her daughter's life? Why? Because she stepped out in faith saying, look, I know I'm not supposed to just toss them in the river. I know there's something about this boy. I know he's going to be used. God, you've got to help me in this moment. I can't do this by my own. She hides him for 3 months and puts him in a basket and puts him in the river. Now let's just think about it. When we go to the lake, the river, the ocean, the beach, are we not paranoid like all the time? I'm always counting kids. And I told a story when we were a candidate and I accidentally lost one of our kids on the beach. Nonetheless, that's a story for another time if you didn't hear it. But now I'm like super paranoid. We go, what do you find? I mean, I'm always counting kids. Where's our kids? Imagine taking your little 3-month-old baby and you're going to weave a basket together. We're not going down to Target to buy a basket. We're not ordering on Amazon Prime one-day delivery, something that's very waterproof and can flip upside down. She's literally out there weaving it together. Let's take some mud. This will make it float. Put some mud in there. Pack it in. Here you go, baby. Isn't that thing? And we'll put them on the edge of the river. We're not going to watch them. We're not going to be right there. Make sure it's not a wave. Make sure it's not a snake. Make sure there's a no. Little sister, you sit here and from a distance and watch them. Friend, that lady had faith. My goodness. That lady saw potential. She saw something that, you know what? I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I want you to read with me. Look at here at Exodus chapter 2. I want you to read with me just a little bit further here. Look at verse number 5. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside. Now this is Pharaoh, the one who made the law. He is king. He is over everything. His daughter is going down. She's going to take a bath. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. Watch now. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid over to fetch it. There's Moses. Verse number 6. When she had opened it, she saw the child. Behold, Moses was crying. The babe wept. And she had compassion on him. I mean, any mom sitting here is reading this. And you know when a baby cries, you ever seen a video of a baby crying? Carrie always says this, tell that mama, pick that baby up. Do you know? I said, mom, pick that baby up. I'm like, honey, well, they're probably just, no, just tell her. Of course, she had compassion. This is, watch now. She opened and saw the child, behold, the babe wept and had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Now let's pause right here. Look at verse number 7. It's going to get there in just a moment. This is God, friend. Excuse me. This is not coincidence. This is God. This is what He does. This is how He works. Well, I mean, couldn't have just been that maybe, you know, Miriam maybe they just knew that Moses was going to be there. So let's just, you know, this is good timing. No, let's just put it this way. This is God's timing. God's timing is always perfect. You and I don't know what's going to take place in the next 10 years. We don't know what's going to happen over the next 5 years. We don't know what's going to happen at the midterm elections. You and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Look, fret not yourself for tomorrow. It's already God's anyways. I don't know, Tommy, what's going to happen by the time you get to 21. I don't even know if I'm going to be here on this earth. But I'm here to tell you this, friend. We ought to live our life each and every day by faith for the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing we may not get it in our timing. We may not get it right when we want it. We may not get it just here. Boom, this is it. Oh God, like a genie in a bottle, come at and give me my wishes. No, God may not always work like that, but friend, His timing is always right. It's always right. I love the verse that says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. You and I know that God is not in heaven taking a nap. God is not asleep. God knows what is taking place in Israel. God knows what is taking place in the Middle East. God knows what is taking place in America. God sees the hearts of His people. And friend, you and I must live each and every day realizing that it's all going to work for His good. Look at verse number 7. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter. Now watch. His sister comes over. Oh, just walking along here. I see you found a baby, huh? Yeah, found a baby. Now watch. Well, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women? You know it's Hebrew, and that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Yeah, go. And the maid went and called for the child's mother. And the Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it to thee, and I will give thee wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. Now pause right here for a moment. How incredible is this? How awesome is this story? This is truly unbelievable. But you see, when parents bravely decide that we ought to obey God rather than man, they model courage and commitment to their children. Years later, Moses had the strength and he had the wherewithal to stand up against Pharaoh's stubborn, sinful ways. But it must have strengthened his resolve to review the story of his birth parents' faith. What happens when you and I are here? What is going to happen when you and I step off the scene? What are we handing that next generation? Who are we going to have that influence on today that is going to make an impact tomorrow? We may think it's all your six girls that sit on the second row and it's not a big deal. Friend, I'm here to tell you, it is a big deal. This is the next generation. Oh, it's just Tommy. It's just a pastor's son. It's not perfect. It's just 12 years old. Friend, let me put it this way. This young man could change a country for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's just, you know, it's the Hughes kids, and they're up there, and they play the instruments, and they come down, and, you know, they're this, and they're that. No, friend, I'm going to tell you, if we start to influence their life by faith, they are watching us. They're looking at us. It's the Miguels of this world that are going to make an impact. Why? Because they're watching the life of you and I. So what do we hand to them? I just want to be, this is just your pastor speaking, I'll just be super frank this morning. I'm almost done. I know it's 11:43, but buckle your seatbelt for a moment and Cheddar's will wait a little bit longer, okay? You do realize that Cross Point Baptist Church is going to leave a legacy. We're going to leave something for the next generation in this local church. Steve, you've seen it over and over. Donnie, you've seen it over and over. There are many churches out there. Brother Jim, there's many churches out there that we know that once were on fire for God. And they were so winning. And they were sold out for Jesus. And you can go to those same buildings today and they're boarded up and they're empty. And the legacy that they left was playing it safe. The legacy that they left was fighting and bickering like the Hatfield and McCoys over, well, should we do this, should we not do this? The little simple standard of preference and bickering and bickering until finally this person got 10 families and left, and this person got 5 families and left, and this person, and all fight, not over doctrine, just my preference, my what we wear, what we do, how we do things, my schedule, you know, the worship wars of today, and all of a sudden, boom, that's the legacy they left. The legacy of the generation before us for all those of you who are my age and younger, listen to the man cronies that are here, and to Fitzgerald that are here, and to Brother Drew and others, those of us who are this generation. What the generation before us left for us is that, look, they weren't going to play it safe and stay on property 10 miles away. They were going to put it all out there for God and by faith step out to get us to the 25, 28 acres that we're on today. That's the legacy that we've left. But let me just put it this way. Are we thankful for that? Without a doubt. I praise the Lord. Help me out today. Amen. Thankful for that. But Brother Denny, God forbid we live in the past of what took place. Every one of those that helped move by faith to get us here, we're still looking up to you to help us to step out by faith right now in 2021. Now it gets all quiet in here. Tara, it always makes me preach so much longer because I think, well, they're just not getting it. So, when you're the pastor, you get to go a little bit long every once in a while. The faith that you and I must have is going to get difficult. Newsflash, Hollywood doesn't love you and I because we love Jesus. They hate us. The world doesn't look at us and love that we are teaching our kids that marriage is between one man and one woman for life. They hate that. The world, isn't it funny? The world hates us because we teach that there's two genders, male and female. Can you imagine? But that's the world we live in. So let's do this. Let's board up the windows. Everybody, go buy a gun. Let's get in here, batten down the hatches. Nobody talk to anybody out there. If you get gas, put on a mask and wear your hat down low. Pour your gas and get out of there. You got to get groceries, get them and get out. Let's just, God's coming back. So that's it, boys. That's it, girls. We're done. Nah. We're just going to keep living life. We're going to step out by faith, and every attendant there that's pumping gas with us, let's just give them a track. Every person in the grocery store needs us to witness to them. We're not going to board up the windows. We're going to open the doors wide open and put signs all around town and invite people. Come on in. You want your life changed? Jesus will give you the change you need. Went through a little bit of a rough month in August, finances. You and I loved, got together. I praise the Lord for this. Got together with the deacons, and deacons were there. And man, we went through it all, and Justin was a great help. And we went through all the finances. And, you know, here's the deacons' hearts at Cross Point Baptist Church. Let's just pray it was a down month. We got to keep moving on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Pastor Defoe amened, and that was about it. So I think I'll just say this again. Pastor Bo, we'll see if we can muster up a couple more amens there, because this excites me. Amen. You do not have men that are going by the calculations of, well, you know, prices of gas is going up. We don't have men that are looking at, well, you know what, maybe we shouldn't do the parking lot because, or put in a coffee, or maybe we shouldn't update the carpet because, you know, in 3 years from now, we don't know where the economy's going to be. Can I just put it this way? Nobody knows where the economy's going to be in 3 years. Here's the mindset of the leadership at Cross Point Baptist Church. God's in control. Amen. By faith, let's just keep moving on for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what, Brother Jim? What we could hand down to this next generation is a generation handed down to us. Here's what faith looks like moving to this property. And it thrills my heart, and man, it pumps me up, and I get excited. I could preach all day just talking about the faith it must have taken to be on this property and be here, praise God, debt-free. And I look at that faith, but you know what? I can't live in yesteryear. They handed us faith so that we, generation, can join arm in arm with them to hand the same type of faith to this generation. Say, Pastor, what are you saying? Let me wrap it up by saying it like this. His faithful parents. It started with faith, but not in just a young kid. It started in the parents, the mom that handed it down to her son. Friend, today, we look at the story of Moses, it did not begin with this great man. It did not begin with prestige. It did not begin with just a king or ruler or even a really incredible family tree. Here's what it began with. A mom doing what was right. No matter what man said, she was going to do what's right. And that faith was then poured into the next generation. And this generation changed a lot of generations after it. A lot. I wonder what type of faith it would even take for us today just to slip out and come down to an old-fashioned altar and just say, God, give me the faith that I need. Whether it's the faith in finances, faith in health, faith in a relationship, faith in trusting in God, faith in praying for the next generation. What if we today came together? Old generation, young ladies up front, a younger generation. Overflow all the way over to your left. What if we stepped out today and just came down and said, God, give our family, give my grandkids, give this next generation, give our generation the faith we need to pour it into the next generation.